ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुं मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतकलाधार शिवसदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी स्टार्ट विथ चैप्टर 9 15th वर्स। ज्ञान यज्ञेन चापि अन्ये यजन्तो माम उपासते कात्वेन कृतक्वेन बहुधा विश्वतो मुखम्। Others who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge worship the Supreme Lord as the one without the second, as diverse in many and in the universal form. This verse is a summary of the previous verses. The Lord tells Arjuna that those who are purely in Krishna consciousness and do not know anything other than Krishna are called Mahatma. Yet there are other persons who are not exactly in the position of Mahatma but who worship Krishna also in different ways. Some of them have already been described as the distressed, the financially destitute, the inquisitive, and those who are engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. But there are others who are still lower, and these are divided into three categories. He who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord, he who concocts some form of the Supreme Lord and worships that, and he who accepts the universe form, the Vishwarupa or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worships that. Out of the above three, the lowest, those who worship themselves as the Supreme Lord, thinking themselves to be monists or most predominant, such people think themselves to be the Supreme Lord, and in this mentality they worship themselves. This is also a type of God worship, for they can understand that they are not the material body but are actual spiritual soul. At least such a sense is prominent. Generally, the impersonalists worship the Supreme Lord in this way. The second class includes the worship of the demigods. Those who by imagination consider any form to be the form of Supreme Lord. And the third class includes those who cannot conceive of anything else, anything beyond the manifestation of this material universe. They consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that. The universe is also a form of the Lord. Yeah, so we are now, like, you know, we are aware of the four types of people who approach the Lord. Arthartha, Jnani and Jigyasu. Okay. And but still there are further three categories. And so this category is definitely indirect. It is not directly approaching the Supreme Lord. And first one is worshipping the, like the Mayavadi. The second one is some concocted form of the Supreme Lord or the worshipper of demigods. And then the third one who is accepting the universal form Vishwarupa, or one who is unable to imagine the Supreme Lord in his personal form, so they will imagine the universe as the form of the Lord. Right? And we know that last time we had discussed that the universal form of the Lord is actually a temporary form, and it's also imaginary, because one can imagine unlimited things in the universe. Okay? So like that. So these are the three different categories of worship, and as Prabhupada said, that the lowest, you know, are the ones who worship themselves as the Supreme Lord, thinking themselves to be monist or most predominant. So why these are predominant? Hare Krishna, come back on my side.
From my side. Well, close the door.
Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Still noise is coming from my side. Still noise is coming from my side, or is it okay?
No. Now it's gone. Yeah, so the question is why the first category is predominant?
Among the three?
Yeah, as Prabhupada says.
Ethi,
What?
not sure, Prabhu.
Okay, Sudhamai Mataji. Are you there, Sudhamai
Hare Krishna,
Mataji?
Prabhu.
Yeah. Acha, you are on mute.
Yeah, sorry,
Okay, so what is the answer? Prabhu,
Prabhu.
it is very simple. I don't know why you are not able to guess.
Most predominant means
Because
you will find them more, like, right, Prabhu?
huh?
Predominant means that kind of people will be more.
Mother, your voice, there's some disturbance from background. Again, the voice started. Some mridanga
That is from my side, Prabhu. Oh, camera, please.
okay. You are in program or what, Mataji?
No, actually, Arati in-house Arati is going on, so my son is playing.
Okay. Now it is okay. Yeah. So,
Because
what is the
most of the
answer?
people
Ujwala Mataji was saying something.
wanted, no, most of the people wanted to be enjoyed like Lord, so they that is why we are here. So, guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Because most of the people, they want to be God. They would like to imitate God. So that's the reason these category of people are most predominant. In fact, as we were discussing earlier, that even the devotees also, they are also affected by this tendency of being impersonalist. Because we are also coming from a background where, we wanted to imitate God, we wanted to become popular, wanted to earn respect, name, fame in the material world, right? So we also wanted to imitate him, but now we are trying to become devotees. So it is not complete, this quality has not completely gone. It is still there. And as long as we don't advance in Krishna consciousness, this will affect us to a lot of degree. In fact, if you consider the stage of nishtha, then most of the gross anarthas are destroyed. But the subtle anarthas, they still remain. And these subtle anarthas, they're completely destroyed almost at the stage of bhava. And the subtle anarthas basically mean that someone, might hanker for name, fame, prestige, followers, all these things. So these are subtle anarthas, and they are very difficult to get rid of. It takes long time. Okay. So the tendency of being an impersonalist or a Mayavadi is also present in the hearts of devotees. And we can see that in terms of relationship with the Vaishnavas, or in terms of expecting something from them, or something from, expecting in general from people around us. So these tendencies are always there. Otherwise, if we are completely free from ego, that means that we just want one thing, and that is we just want to serve the Lord, the devotees, and the non-devotees. Right? We don't want any respect, we don't want any favor, we don't want anything from them, we just want to serve them. So that is actually our original constitutional position. But in order to come to that platform, it takes a long time. So most of these people are predominant because obviously everyone in the material world has come down due to envy of the Lord, because they want to be the master and controllers. So that is the reason you can say that these people are going to be predominant. And we have a huge following sect of Mahayanavadis in India. We know that, right? Generally, you know, mostly many, like, you know, many of them. So, so in the north side, in the south side, mostly, you know, we have Mayavadis and the followers of Shankaracharya or Shaivites, basically. So we have a huge population of Mayavadis because of Shankaracharya. And it's obviously very natural because we all want to become God to some degree. Right? So they are most predominant. Okay. Any comment or question on this?
No problem.
Yeah, next. Yeah, Ujwala Mataji, Sudhamai Mataji, would like to.
Okay, 16.
Mataji.
Yeah, okay. 16. Aham kraturaham yignaha svadaham aham aushadam mantroham aham evajyam aham agnir aham hutam. But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. Purport. The Vedic sacrifice known as Jyoti Stoma is also Krishna.
Hare Krishna, there is some disturbance in the background.
Yeah.
Who has joined? Neeraj Prabhu, have you joined?
Yes, Prabhu. Okay, he kept on mute.
Haribol?
Yes, Prabhu, he joined and he kept on mute now.
Oh, Ajaja, okay. Okay, so... yeah, Madhuri, you can continue.
Yeah, perfect.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji,
Haribol. Are you outside?
I just came from office, that's why I'm late. Now I'm at home.
Okay. Yeah, because there was some background disturbance, that's why. Yeah, so okay. We are reading 9 chapter, 16th verse.
The Vedic sacrifice known as Jyoti Stoma is also Krishna, and he is also the Mahayagna mentioned in the Smriti. The oblations offered to the Pitruloka, or the sacrifice performed to please the Pitruloka, construed as a kind of a drug in the form of clarified butter, is also Krishna. The mantras chanted in this connection are also Krishna. And many other commodities made with milk products for offering in the sacrifice are also Krishna. The fire is also Krishna, because fire is one of the five material elements and is therefore claimed as a separated energy of Krishna. In other words, the Vedic sacrifices recommended in the Karmakanda division of the Vedas are in total also Krishna. Or in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to have performed all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas.
Yeah, okay. So any comment on this? Any question? Next. Yeah, Sudhamai Mataji. Sudhamai Mataji. Is she on mute? Neeraj Prabhu, you can read today.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah, you would like to read?
So Sorry, Prabhuji, I do not have any facility. I'll try to read next time.
Okay.
Oh, my Mataji got disconnected.
I wish you again. Sudha, my Mataji got disconnected. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe she will join back, probably.
She joined.
Okay, joined. So 17 verse, Mataji, you like to read.
So then, my Mataji, 17 verse. Okay. पिता हमस्य जगदो माता दादा पितामह वेद्यं पौत्रम् ओंकार ऋक्सम यजु एव च. Translation: I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support and the grandson. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama and the Yajur Vedas. Both. The entire cosmic manifestations, moving and non-moving, are manifested different activities of Krishna's energy. In the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually, they are parts and parcel of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc. are nothing but Krishna. In this world, the word Dada means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but the creator, grandmother and grandfather, etc. are of Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only towards Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas, but a progressive step towards understanding Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional vision is Krishna. Similarly, entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and as such is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig and Atharva, the Pranava or Omkara is very prominent, it is understood to be Krishna.
So everything is Krishna. Because everything is coming from Krishna. So in that sense, Krishna is actually represented by each and everything in the material world. So any question on this? This is also the verse which actually answers the parents of the brahmacharis who have joined this con. Right, and who consider themselves as the parents of the devotee, but actually Krishna is the original parent. And in fact, you know, parents are providing for one lifetime. And what they are providing, many parents are in this day and age, they are not even selfless. They are so selfish and they are expecting so many things from their children and not providing selfless love. So even if they are providing selfless love, but that is for one lifetime, but still they cannot provide so many things. They cannot provide air. They cannot provide water or earth or water, fire either. Everything is provided by the Supreme Lord. They are not even able to maintain themselves. They are not even to control themselves. So what to speak of providing and controlling and maintaining all these things. So basically the point is that the Lord is not only maintaining, He's also providing everything to each and every living entity. So in that sense, that's the reason it is mentioned here, that he is a Mata, Pitama, Data, everything. Because he is the one who is actually maintaining our parents also. Right? So that is the reason the respect for the Lord has to be always greater than to the parents. In fact, parents should feel proud and they should also advise their children to worship and respect the Lord more. Because of the Lord, they are also sustaining. And because of they are being sustained by the Lord, the children are also provided facilities. So in that sense, they act as representative of the Lord's, right? So it's a simple, you know, concept to understand. But unfortunately, many Hindus, you know, they think that parents are God. Or they, you know, some even say that actually we can't see God and we see God in our parents. And that is obviously because of their extremely weak faith in the Lord. Because they cannot perceive the Lord and they don't know the science of attaining the Lord. So they will say that ultimately we see, because they know for sure that there is someone who is a supreme power and who is controlling things. So they will say that because they don't see the Lord, they cannot reciprocate with the Lord. That's why they will see that the parents are actually able to give them senseless love. So they will see the God in the parents. You know, like it is very obvious. But if you can understand all these concepts, that who is maintaining your parents, and your parents are also going to be only for one lifetime. They are also going to die. And, you know, we have taken multiple lifetimes and different species also, different parents also. According to karma, you know, they will have animal bodies. We can have animal bodies. So, you know, so all these things logically we can actually understand. And that is the reason the unfortunate part of Hindus is that they have extremely weak faith, and they are really diverted because of so much worship, so many religions in India, and so much worship of demigods. They are completely diverted. You know, they are confused, and they do not know themselves. Plus, they have never learned the culture, and they have never, you know, they are always following the Western culture. So all these things actually have destroyed their faith. Some faith is there which is very ritualistic in nature. It is not the real faith. It's a semblance of faith, basically, what they are doing. It's all ritualistic, you know, like, so we see that a lot of people will assemble in Dham during the Kartik month, during the Purushottam mass. Then, especially, they will go to the Kumbh Mela, and then, you know, for them, every demigod is the supreme god for a particular month, for a particular time. Ganesh Chaturthi, Ganpati Supreme, Shivratri, you know, Lord Shiva, like that, we know that. So, this is the condition of all the Hindus in India. And, they should be taught that they should follow a science. And that science is actually very logical. Okay. So, any comments on or questions on this? Okay. So has someone joined?
Yes, somebody will join.
Okay. So, would you like to read verse 18?
Yes, somebody.
Are you reading, Prabhu?
Just a moment.
Huh?
Okay, what 9:18? Gadir Bharta Prabhu Shakshi Nivasaha Sharanam Shripaha Surahapa Prabhava Pralaya Panavidhar Jamabhyam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the weakness, the abode, the refuge and the most dear friend, and the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal sea. Gati means the destination where we want to go, but the ultimate goal is Krishna, although people do not know it. One who does not know Krishna is misled, and his so-called progressive march is either partial or hallucinatory. There are many who make as their destination different demigods, and by rigid performance of the strict receptive method, there is this equivalent known as Chandraloka, Suryaloka, Indraloka, Maharloka, etc. But all such lokas or planets, being creation of Krishna, are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. Such planets, being manifestations of Krishna's energy, are also Krishna, but actually they serve only as a step forward for realization of Krishna. To approach the different energies of Krishna is to approach Krishna indirectly. One should directly approach Krishna, for that will save time and energy. For example, if there is a possibility of going to the top of a building by the help of an elevator, why should one go by the staircase, step by step? Everything is resting on Krishna's energy. Therefore, without Krishna's shelter, nothing can exist. Krishna is the supreme ruler because everything belongs to him and everything exists from his energy. Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, is the supreme witness. The residences, countries, on four planets on which we live are also Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate goal of shelter, and therefore, one should take shelter of Krishna either for protection or for annihilation of his distress. And whenever we have to take protection, we should know that our protection must be a living force. Krishna is the supreme living entity, and since Krishna is the source of our generation, or the supreme father, no one can be a better friend than Krishna, nor can anyone be a better well-wisher. Krishna is the only source of creation and ultimate wealth after annihilation. Krishna is therefore the eternal cause of all causes.
Yeah. So Krishna says that he is the Gatir. Gati means that he is the destination, he is the goal. And no other can be the destination of the goal, because we have already discussed. If you worship different demigods, then what are you going to attain? What is the goal? Anyone knows what is the goal of attaining different demigods? First of all, if someone will say that, you know, they worship Shiva, or they would like to worship Durga, or they would like to worship Ganesh, or they would like to worship Sun God, Surya, then what is the destination for these people?
That particular abode, whomever they worship.
Particular abode. Okay. And someone else said something? Okay. What is the destination?
He says no, like Pitronyanti Prithurasdan. Whomever they worship, they'll go to their particular abode. Their abode.
Particular abode. And what is the result of that, you know, is that temporary or permanent?
Okay, I have joined. My Datta has joined.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So what is that? Is that a temporary destination or permanent destination?
Because there are all those goals, I mean, all those abodes, whatever, wherever they are going, they are also material only. It cannot be
correct.
Permanent.
It cannot be permanent. Okay, what about worshipping Shiva?
Shiva's abode is not material.
Actually, the worshippers of Shiva, what do they attain? So, you know, if you say that it is not material, then is it spiritual? And, you know, what do they do?
They'll go to Shivloka.
Shivloka. So Shivloka in where? Like in the material universe or in the spiritual world?
That is Sadashiva, what we talk is, it is not material, that is that's spiritual only. Or it is in between?
Yeah, so are they worshipping Shiva, the Sadashiva one, or Shambhu? What is the difference?
Sadashiva is the one where Karanadaka Sai Vishnu glances and that time he appears, Sadashiva.
No, that is not Sadashiva. That is Shambhu.
That is Shambhu? Okay.
Shambhu is in the material world.
Okay.
And Sadashiva is in the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And he is a Vishnu Tattva. So, we have discussed this earlier. What is the destination they attain? Worshippers of Shiva.
Is it Prabhuji that is that destines the worshipper to the planet of ghosts?
Okay. Actually, Lord Shiva is worshipped by all these, you know, bhutas, pretas, and all that. But you know, it's not a ghostly planet. So, Lord Shiva is abode in the material world. But what is the destination of that? See, if you say that in the material world everything is temporary, then that means that Shiva's abode is also temporary. So then what is the destination of those who worship Shiva? Okay, let's talk about the destination of those who worship Ganesha. Where is Ganesha residing? Does he have his own planet in the material world?
I don't think so, Prabhu. He doesn't have. I mean, normally we heard that he is a pujari of Narsingadev in the Vaikuntha planet.
Okay, so this is also, see, there is now, you know, there are counterparts of demigods in the spiritual world also. But we are talking about in the material world. So there is Ganesha in the spiritual world also. And there is Sadashiva also in the spiritual world.
Mm.
Or when we talk about spiritual world, we are basically referring to Vaikunthas.
Mm.
So the entire family, Mahadev family, is also in the spiritual world. They are all together. But in the material world also they are there. So we are talking about people who are approaching Ganesha, worshipping Ganesha. What is the destination? Okay. Does anyone remember, you know, we have also discussed about the different types of tattva amongst Ishvara and, you know, what are the different types of tattva? So, who belongs to the Ishvara Tattva?
Vishnu Tattva, Rahul.
Vishnu Tattva, yeah. That is Ishvara Tattva. So, obviously, you know, Krishna is also there. He is the Supreme Vishnu Tattva. So, Vishnu Tattva. And what about Shiva?
Shiva is also, he is not Jiva Tattva.
He is what? Not?
He is not Jiva Tattva, definitely.
Okay. And is he Vishnu?
No.
No? I just mentioned that Sadashiva is Vishnu Tattva.
Yeah.
So then, what is the position of Shiva in the material world?
Shambhu.
Shambhu, yeah. And what is that tattva of that Shambhu?
It's the Shiva tattva.
Shiva tattva, yes, that's right. So I, you know, so these things are very basic things, you know, every day, like we have repeated so many times in the class, and we have also defined the qualities of the, you know, all these tattvas, that Krishna possesses 64 qualities, then Vishnu possesses 60 qualities, and then Shiva possesses how many?
55 probably.
55, yes. And then the Jeev Tattva possesses how many qualities?
Fifty.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, you somehow mug it up. You know, these qualities, number of qualities and the tattva. If you are unable to understand, then mug it up. Okay, that the Ishwar Tattva means Krishna and Vishnu only. And then, obviously, Sadashiv is also Vishnu Tattva. So, Sadashiv also comes in the category of Vishnu or the Ishvara. But in the material world, the Shiva is actually a Shiv Tattva. So, basically, he is kind of Vishnu, but with less qualities. Or he is kind of, you know, affected with the mode of ignorance. Like, you know, the Brahma Samhita is explaining about the nature of the Shambhu. You know, and it says that when milk is turned into yogurt, that is what is, the yogurt is Shiv Tattva and milk is Vishnu, like that. So one cannot get milk from yogurt. One cannot get Vishnu from Shiva because Shiva possesses less qualities than Vishnu. Right? So somehow please mug it up. You know, actually we should have exam, you know, like exam is very important. We started with NOD, you know, we just had one exam because devotees, you know, they got so much in anxiety that after that they stopped taking the name of exam. So then, but, you know, we see the effect of that, that, you know, certain basic things, you know, devotees are unable to remember, and these concepts are so important actually, because when you are preaching and when you are representing, and, you know, when people ask about worshipping Shiva, like, you know, many people say that, okay, you are worshipping Krishna with selfless spirit, we also worship Shiva with selfless spirit, what is the difference? They both are one. So then we should know the answer. We should be able to explain to them that what Shiva is actually talking about, you know, he's a temporary form. Or basically, he's existing in the material world. You know, he's not there in the spiritual world. Like, he's in the spiritual world means, you know, he's a Sadashiv form, as a Vishnu Tattva. So the destination that different people attain when they approach or they worship different demigods is all temporary. Especially for Shiva, they attain impersonal liberation. Please remember this, that the Shaivites, they are not like devotees. They are not meant to serve each other. But they want to become Shiva. Or, you know, they want to merge in the impersonal aspect. Because in their philosophy, in the Shaivite Purana, you know, the Shiva Puran and other Shaivite philosophies, it is basically mentioned that Shiva is also the representative of the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So the impersonal aspect is the supreme. That is what is actually mentioned. So according to that philosophy, you know, the followers of Shiva, generally they will attain the destination of impersonal, merging into impersonal Brahman. And yeah, but there is a difference also. Now there are certain devotees or certain worshippers or followers of Shiva who worship Shiva in a different way, and they attain the abode of Sadashiva in the spiritual world. And how do they attain that? We have discussed this earlier. Anyone recollect that?
Is it something that they are worshipping Prabhuji Krishna through Shiva?
Okay, so it is indirect worship of Krishna basically. And indirect worship of Krishna means what they are actually followers of Shiva, but they know that Shiva is actually servant of Krishna and Vishnu. So he is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambho. They know that. And with that intention, they worship Shiva. They are attached to Shiva as a devotee of Krishna and Shiva. Vishnu. So that's those followers, worshippers, they will go to Sadashiv Loka in the spiritual world. Okay, so they attain identity in the spiritual world. But other followers of Shiva who think Shiva is supreme or is equal to Vishnu, they will all attain impersonal liberation. They might go in the realm of or the abode of Shiva, but that is temporary because we know that in the material world, you know, everything is temporary. Now, there are local Vaikunthas also in the material world, as we know, that, you know, the planet of Dhruv Loka is also a local Vaikuntha in the material world, and because Shirodaka Shai Vishnu is also residing there. And then there are different Varshas. They are also ruled by different Vishnu avatars, as we know from the Goloka chart, that, you know, different avatars of the Lord, they are worshipped in different Varshas of Jambudip. Okay, so all these things, you know, they are, when we talk about Vaikuntha, you know, they are eternal in the sense that they are not affected by the destruction of the material world. And generally, you know, when the annihilation, complete annihilation takes place, then the respective abodes or the dhams, you know, they merge in the original spiritual world, and then again, you know, they expand when the creation takes place. So in that sense, you know, they are not destroyed. Like, you know, for example, the jivas. So the jivas never are destroyed. The material world can be destroyed because it is a material element. So, you know, the Lord will glance and then create the material world, and then at the same time of complete annihilation, the entire material world is wounded up and it is destroyed by the, you know, fiery flame that is produced, you know, and everything is destroyed by that. So, but the jivas and the Vaikunthas, you know, they are all merged back into their original spiritual realm. And when the creation takes place again, then they all come out from that and they expand in the material world like that. So in that sense, they are eternal. And similarly, the jivas also, they merge in the body of Mahavishnu, as you have already read in Prabhupada's Purport in some class, if you remember, right? So please remember that those who are worshippers of demigods, although the Lord is saying that they go to the planet of demigods, so they have their planets, but at the same time, it's all temporary. So they will not attain permanent liberation. They have to come back to the material world again. And another important point is that do remember that Ganesha is a Jeev Tattva. Okay. And who is Durga?
So Maya, Prabhuji.
Okay. And Maya is... What is Maya?
The external potency of Lord.
External energy of the Lord. Yeah. So basically, Maya is shadow of the Chit potency of the Lord. Means it's a shadow of Lakshmi Devi or Rama Devi. When Mahavishnu is glancing over Rama Devi, then from Rama Devi comes, from her shadow comes Durga. So that's the external manifestation of the Chit potency of the Lord. Okay. And so that is the... So you can say that Durga is actually the shadow of the Shakti Tattva. Shakti Tattva is represented by Radharani and the Lakshmis or the Mahishis of Dwarka. So they are all belonging to the internal energy of the Lord, and the shadow of that internal energy, or the, you know, a manifestation of Mahamaya, is actually Durga in the material world. Okay, so even the followers of Durga also, you know, they will, you know, they don't have any permanent position. Only so because see, now it is so interesting. Beyond the material planets is the impersonal liberation or the Brahman effulgence, and beyond the Brahman effulgence is the spiritual world. So have you ever seen somewhere or heard or read somewhere that beyond the impersonal Brahman effulgence there is the abode of Mahadev or Durga in the spiritual world? You won't be able to hear that or read anywhere in the Shastra. So this concept of eternality of service to the Lord exists only in Vaishnava scriptures. So in that sense, you can ask, you know, that whenever people talks, you know, they will talk about Durga and Shiva equal to Vishnu, Krishna, then you ask them that what is the destination that they attain. So they will, at the max, they will say that they might go to the abode of Durga in the material world, or they might go in the impersonal, they will merge in the impersonal Brahman effulgence. But beyond that, you know, they cannot think of. Because then what happens if they say that Durga and Shiva also has an eternal planet in the spiritual world? Then that means that we have an eternal relationship with Durga and Shiva, and we are supposed to serve them. So then it involves rasa. Okay, it involves rasa. Because when there is exchange of mellows or reciprocation of love, then it becomes rasa. So then it's all, you know, everything becomes equal to what we are talking about, Krishna and Vishnu. Okay, but that concept is not present only. So it is very easy to identify that these people, these followers, they will actually not go beyond impersonal liberation. Is that clear? Anyone has any comment or doubt on this subject matter? Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you had a question?
Prabhuji, I was asking about the Mahamaya, which is the external potency of Krishna, right? And the spiritual representation of Mahamaya is Yogamaya, which is internal potency. So how these two mayas get connected?
Okay. So I will answer that. But before that, I also want to make another important point, and that is that according to the Shastras, Ganesha is a Jiva and Brahma is also a Jiva. So we all can become Brahma and Ganesha. If we do that kind of pious activities for multiple lifetimes, then we attain that particular post. Okay. And Shiva is a special tattva called Shiv tattva. In fact, it is also mentioned by Acharyas that the Shiv tattva, you know, when sometimes it is possible, even a Jiva can actually take that post. So it is not the tattva that, you know, the Jiva tattva becomes Shiv tattva, but the post of Shiva sometimes is taken by a Jiva. Okay, so that is mentioned by the Acharya. But the Jiva does not become Shiv Tattva. So that you have to understand that. Okay, it might, so that particular Shiva of that particular Kalpa is actually a Jiv Tattva. So sometime it can happen like that. Okay, so also keep that in mind. So Jiva can also attain the post of Shiva, but the Jiva cannot become Shiv Tattva. Because Shiv Tattva is basically the you can say the residual expansion of Vishnu when, you know, he takes the modes of material nature. So it is like he is actually Vishnu, but it's kind of affected, you know, like in order to function in the material world. So obviously, a Jiva cannot take, he cannot become Shiv Tattva, because that is actually Vishnu is transforming himself, in, you know, through that potency. So obviously, a Jiva cannot do on its own. He cannot take that position of Shiv Tattva, but he can take the post of Shiva. He can rule as a, you know, Lord Shambhu, but in that case, the Shambhu is actually a Jiva Tattva. Okay. Yeah, okay, alright. So coming back to how to connect Yogamaya and Mahamaya in Krishna consciousness. That is the question?
Yes, Prabhuji. How they are correlated?
Correlated. See, correlated, now Mahamaya is also a devotee of, Durga is also a devotee of Krishna. And the Mahamaya's role is to give us pleasure and pain in the material world. Okay, and when I say that pleasure and pain, so it is, her service is actually acting in two ways. So by giving pleasure in the material world, Maya is actually testing us how determined we are in Krishna consciousness. And by giving pain in the material world, she is bringing us more close to the Lord. Because we realize that everything in the material world is very frustrating. It is, you know, they're full of suffering. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. It's temporary suffering, full of suffering, misery. You know, so by both ways, Maya is actually giving us opportunity to come to Krishna. Like, she is bringing us closer to Krishna. At the same time, she is also testing us, and she is also filtering the devotees who wants to go to Krishna. So she is filtering. Filtering out means Maya Devi is only allowing those devotees to approach the Lord who are completely pure, or who do not have any selfish motives, not have any ulterior motives. Their only goal is to worship the Lord, Supreme Lord. Okay, so or those who are sincere followers of the Lord. So that Maya Devi is taking care that, you know, they filter and she will present those devotees only to the Lord, like that. So she is acting in both ways. She is also helping. Essentially she is only helping actually the devotees to come closer to Krishna. And for non-devotees, she is actually, you know, entangling them more in the material world. So unless, you know, some devotees, they show mercy to the living entities in the material world, then Maya Devi will help them also to come closer to Krishna. Okay, so is this clear?
Yes, Ram.
Okay. So any other devotee have any question? Okay, next. Yeah, Jigna Madhuri, if you're there, you'd like to read.
The second part of the question, I'm just trying to understand. I understand Maya Devi is trying to encourage jivas to get out of this entanglement of material. At the same time, is trying to test and see the determination of the jivas to get out of it. So that is what Maya Devi is trying to encourage and filter. But then how the role of Yoga Maya comes into play, or means where the Yoga Maya comes into picture and start taking care of jivas.
Okay, yeah. So we have answered about the first thing about Mahamaya, but Yogmaya, I just forgot to mention that Yogmaya only applies or comes into picture when things are arranged from the Lord's perspective, or when the Lord is actually arranging. See, Yogmaya is something which is spiritual, and Mahamaya is actually material. Now, because Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogmaya, it's a perverted, you know, reflection of the Yogmaya. So that's the reason ultimately everyone is a devotee. Now we say that Shiva is also a devotee, Ganesh is also a devotee, and Indra, Chandra, everyone is actually a devotee of Krishna. So essentially the demigods also, they are also helping the jivas to come closer to God in one way or the other. Okay. By making us experience and realize that there is suffering in the material world. So they are, because they are servants of the Lord and they are assisting in the material creation, that's the reason they also would like to help the jivas, but it also depends on the jivas' desire, how they approach the demigods. So depending on that, they will reciprocate. Now, Yogmaya exists when devotees become very advanced. So Yogmaya is basically Purnamasi. Purnamasi is the personification of Yogmaya, and Purnamasi is actually in the spiritual world in Goloka, and she's assisting in Krishna's pastimes. So, as we know that Balram is actually the representative or the personification of Sandini potency, Yogmaya is the representative of the Samdhi potency. And Radharani is the representative of Ladini potency. So this Satchit Ananda, or you can say the Sandini, Samvit and Ladini Shakti, are represented by three different energies of the Lord, or the three different, now these three energies Satchit Ananda and Sandini Samvit and Ladini. I mean, I'm giving the analogy. So Sandini means Sat potency, then Satchit Chit potency is the Samvit potency, and the Ananda potency is Ladini potency. But these three, they are internal energy of the Supreme Lord, which is also called as Chit potency in general. Okay, Chit potency means the internal energy of the Lord. So internal energy of the Lord is divided into three parts: Satchit Ananda, or Sandini Samvit and Ladini. Okay, and the three corresponding personified personalities of these three energies are Balram, Purnamasi and Radharani in the spiritual world. So Purnamasi is the one who is actually the personification of Yogmaya and who is assisting in Krishna's pastime. Purnamasi is arranging all the different pastimes. She is creating all the illusions in the spiritual world. And she also creates the illusion when the devotees of the Lord, they descend in the material world. And those devotees of the Lord who are also participating in Krishna's Leela, they have taken birth in Bhoma Vrindavan in the material world. The sadhakas who have purified themselves in their life, previous lives, and they have got opportunity to become trained under the guidance of the Vrajvasis. So they take birth in the material planet, in Goloka, in the material world. And then they get involved in the Yogmaya potency, because Yogmaya potency only acts when, you know, it is the spiritual potency, the internal potency of the Lord. So it is only acting amongst the pure devotees of the Lord. Okay, so it is connected to the spiritual potency of the Lord. But this Mahamaya potency is actually the external energy of the Lord. It is the shadow of that internal potency of the Lord. Okay, so is this clear now? So generally, when certain things are happening with us as a sadhaka devotees, we don't say that the Lord is using his Yogmaya. Okay, we don't say like that, because we are still not there. You know, Yogmaya is generally applicable. Obviously, it might be the Lord's arrangement, direct arrangement, but we don't say that we are in the Lord's Yogmaya's potency, because, you know, generally the Yogmaya potency, it works only on the spiritual realm when devotees attain the state of bhava and prema. So that, because what happens is, when you attain bhava, then, you know, we attain, what happens is, you know, the ray of, you know, one ray of prema will enter the heart. And that one ray of prema is actually basically the chit potency and the anand potency of the Lord, which means the Samvit potency and the Ladini potency, it enters our heart. And this can only enter the heart when we attain the state of bhava, not before that. So at the state of bhava and at higher stages, then only we can actually say that, you know, the Yogmaya potency is acting. But below that, you know, it is like, we don't say generally that it's the Yogmaya potency which is covering. Okay, now when Balram was bewildered by Krishna's Yogmaya potency, so we say that, okay, it was Yogmaya, because all the spiritual, the devotees in the spiritual world, or the devotees who are perfected beings in the material world, in Krishna's planet, in Krishna's Goloka, they are all influenced by Yogmaya, but not those who are sadhakas. So is that clear?
Yes, so all the associates, the close associates that come along with Krishna and Uliya, so they are all Nitya Siddhas and they are all controlled by Yogamaya, right?
Yeah, so see, those who are descending with the Lord, obviously they are Nitya Siddhas. But there are living entities who are also coming from different universes, like, you know, practitioners, sadhakas like us. Now, let's say if we attain perfection in this life, or we attain the state of bhava in this life, then we take birth in Krishna's planet in the material world, or Goloka in the material world, which is called as Gokul Vrindavan. And then we get trained in that particular universe where Krishna has appeared to perform pastimes. So we take participate in that, and you know, we actually get involved in his Yogmaya potency then, like that. Okay, but not before that.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, any other devotees? Okay, next. Jigna Madhuri, would you like to read?
Yes, Babaji. Verse number 19. Tapami aham aham vasana nikunami uskarjami cha amrutam chayundutya cha sad asat chaham Arjuna. O Arjuna, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality, I am also death personified, both spirit and matter are in me. Purpose. Krishna, by his different energies, diffuses heat and light through the agency of electricity and the sun. During the summer season, it is Krishna who gets rain from falling from the sky, and then during the rainy season, it is on torrent of rain. The energy which sustains us by prolonging the duration of our life is Krishna, and the Krishna meets us at the end as a death. By analyzing all these different energies of the Krishna, one can ascertain that for the Krishna there is no distinction between matter and spirit, or, in other words, he is both matter and spirit. In the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, one therefore makes no such distinction. He sees only Krishna in everything. Since Krishna is both matter and spirit, the gigantic universal form comprising all material manifestations is also Krishna, and his pastimes in the Vrindavan as 200 Syama Sundara playing on a flute are those of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Okay, any comment on this? Okay. Shri Kumar Prabhu, would you like to read?
Okay. Text number 20. Trai Vidya Mama Soma Paha Puta Tapapa Yajmer Istava Swar Gatim Pranathayante Te Punyam Asadya Surendra Lokam Asnanti Devyam Divi Deva Bhogan. Purpose. No. Those who study the Vedas and bring the Soma juice seeking the heavenly planets worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delight. Purpose. The word Traya Vidya refers to the three Vedas, Sama, Yajur and Riga, Rigveda. A Brahmana who has studied these three Vedas is called a Trivedi. Anyone who is very much attached to knowledge derived from these three Vedas is respected in society. Unfortunately, there are many great scholars of the Vedas who do not know the ultimate purport of studying them. Therefore, Krishna herein declared himself to be the ultimate goal for the Trivedis. Actually, Trivedis take shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and engage in pure devotional service to satisfy the Lord. Devotional service begins with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and side by side trying to understand Krishna in truth. Unfortunately, those who are simply official students of the Vedas become more interested in offering sacrifices to the different demigods like Indra and Chandra. By such endeavor, the worshippers of different demigods are certainly purified of the contamination of the lower qualities of nature and are thereby elevated to the higher planetary systems or heavenly planets known as Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka. Once situated on these higher planetary systems, one can satisfy his senses hundreds of thousands of times better than on this planet.
Okay, one second.
Hello, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, one second, actually. I'm just trying to align this because I'm reading from Veda base. Okay, any question or comment for this purport?
Prabhuji, this heavenly planets are Mahaloka, Janaloka, and Tapa, in relation to Vaikunthi, at what level it is?
No, this is above Swargloka. So we have planets up to Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. So below Satyaloka, all these planets are there. Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, and all that. And okay. It is above Swargloka. So it is, if you have seen the structure of the universe as per Srimad Bhagavatam, then there are, you know, we say that there are 14 planetary system. Earth is in the middle, then, you know, there are six subplanetary and planetary systems which are below, and then seven are above the Earth. Actually, Earth, as it's, you know, we think that as a spear, which is actually a spear only, you know, it is called Bharat Varsha or Bharat Khanda basically. This earth planet that we call in the spiritual context is actually called as Bharat Khanda. Okay. And that is a spear. And if, you know, so it, that spear is actually lying on Bhumandala. And that Bhumandala is a flat disc. And so that is at the center. And then below then there are the lower planetary systems, you know, the Atal Loka, Sutal, Patal, Atal, Talatal, all these, you know, lower planetary system. And then above is about the flat disk or the Bharat Khanda is actually the Swarg Loka. And then above Swarg Loka comes all these different types of Loka. And then the topmost is Satya Loka or Brahma Loka. Okay. And beyond Brahmaloka is, as we know that it Garbhodakashaya Vishnu is residing, and then beyond Garbhodakashaya Vishnu is actually Mahavishnu. Okay, and then beyond Mahavishnu is the, you know, because Mahavishnu is actually lying in the Virat River, which is the border of the material and spiritual world, and outside of that Viraj, you know, is covered completely by the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord. And in the Brahman effulgence, you know, so beyond that we have the Vaikuntha planets. And then beyond that we have Ayodhya, and then topmost is Goloka. Okay.
We can see this ornogram, there's organization chart.
You can easily get, you can Google it, or you can also in YouTube also, if you type Goloka chart, then, you know, okay. You'll get it.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, you see in video because, it will be represented exactly. And you'll get, you know, proper details of each and every planet.
Okay.
Okay, verse number 21. I think it's my turn. Tetam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam, shine punyam ritya lokam vishanti, evam trai dharmam anuprapanna, gata gatam kama labhante. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their past activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. One who is promoted to the Alpine system enjoys a longer duration of life and better facilities for sense enjoyment, yet one is not allowed to stay there forever. one is again sent back to the earth upon finishing the resultant fruits of pious activities. He who has not attained perfection of knowledge as indicated in the Vedanta Sutra, Tanmad Asayataha, or in other words, he who fails to understand Krishna, the cause of all causes, becomes baffled about achieving the ultimate goal of life and is thus subjected to the routine of being promoted to higher planets and then coming down as if situated on Ferris wheel, which sometimes goes up and sometimes comes down. The purpose is that instead of being elevated to spiritual world from which there is no longer any possibility of coming down, one simply revolves in a cycle of birth and death on higher and lower planetary systems. One should better take to the spiritual world to enjoy an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge and never return to this miserable material existence. Yeah, now why one has to come to the earth planet?
What is the question, Babuji?
Why one has to come to earth planet?
Because the pious activity got exhausted.
Okay, so then why don't they go to the hellish planet? Why they have to come to earth planet?
Because they don't have enough pious activity left in their karma bank that can preserve them. They have to come down.
So basically if a person has only pious activities, like, or the majority is pious activity, then they will come to earth planet. And there are certain cases or circumstances where it is possible a person might commit sinful activities, pious activities both, and he might get the reaction for that according to the desire, according to how Yamraj gives the award or the desire of the person who is going to be punished, or who is going to achieve the pious activity, the reaction of pious activities. So it is possible that someone may exhaust their pious activities, but then they might have the sinful activities remaining for which they have to go undergo the reaction. And so they might also probably go to Patal Loka to finish that reaction. And then from there, you know, so it depends. Now some might go to the Patal Loka. They get the reaction for the sinful activities and then they are promoted to Swarga. Then they exhaust their pious and then they come to the earthly planet. And why only earth?
Because from earthly planet only there is a possibility to go back to Godhead.
Actually, because so you are saying that only from earth, the planet earth, we can go back to Godhead?
I mean, we heard, I mean, exactly, I cannot say the difference, but we say, like, even demigods think themselves, like, no, if you take up birth on the earthly planet, especially in Kali Yuga, there is a great opportunity to go back to Godhead, something like that.
In general, yeah, that is right, but it's not necessary. And so basically, So does it mean that Brahma can never go to the spiritual world? Because he is always in Satyaloka. So he has to come down to material world?
For Brahma, Brahmaloka is a different case, no Prabhu?
No, but we can also go to Brahmaloka.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but when annihilation comes, Brahmaloka devotee...
See, Brahma... the question is that does Brahma go back to Godhead after the end of his life?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes,
probably like this. If Brahma be continuously accumulating even the pious deeds while in Satyaloka, he can claim and go back to Godhead. But if he continues to encash his piety accumulated from the past birth, then at the end of those positive reactions of the piety, if Brahma only indulges into the sense enjoyment there, then he can fall down.
Yeah, that is the right answer. So, you know, Prabhupada explains that Brahma, if he becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, then he goes back to Godhead. And if he does not become pure devotee, then he comes to the material world. So, see, if you remember, I think the last year itself we were discussing that we were all Brahmas in the past, because Prabhupada says that the very first position the living entity takes in the material world is that of Brahma. And so that means that we have all fallen from that position. So it means that it's not necessary that Brahma goes to the spiritual world. Okay. But this particular Brahma of our Sampradaya is a pure devotee. He is already a pure devotee, actually. So, so Brahma, you know, depending on his, because ultimately he is a Jeev Tattva. So Brahma also has his choice. And similarly, the demigods also have their choice. Now, for example, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, so they are also demigods. And they went back to God because Krishna awarded them, you know, pure devotional service. So even though they continued their position or the post of demigods till the time of their, you know, duration in the material world, but after leaving their bodies, they went back to God. Right? And it is also mentioned that in the upper planetary system, when, you know, so obviously, generally, the free will is, or the ability to go back to God or to perform devotional service is favorable, maximum favorable in earthly planet. Why? Because in the upper planetary system, there is a lot of sense gratification. So in that sense, it is mentioned that when you are too much engaged in sense gratification, and especially pleasure of the material world, it is quite impossible to remember the Lord or to become a devotee of the Lord. But it is also mentioned that great Vaishnavas like Narad Muni and others, when they visit the upper planetary system, by their mercy, the demigods also become devotees. And they can also go back to Godhead. So from upper planetary system also, one can go back to Godhead. And obviously from lower planetary system also, the same thing can happen. It all depends. Right, we know that Bali Maharaj is, you know, there in the Sutta Loka, and he's always, you know, he's protected personally by Vamandev at the doorstep. So, you know, Lord Vamandev is personally there in Sutta planet, and whoever the inhabitants of Sutta Loka, you know, they get association of Bali Maharaj, pure devotee, they can go back to God from Sutta Loka. So it depends. But in general, yeah, in general it is true that this will not happen generally in the lower planetary system or in the upper planetary system, because too much sense gratification and too much suffering in the lower planetary system. Too much enjoyment, too much suffering. When we have this combination, then it's not you know, so much possible to remember the Lord. Because, like, you know, you can also experience this in the material world when you're on the earthly planet. So in the earth planet, it's a combination of both things. We have sense gratification, enjoyment, and we have suffering also at the same time. It is a mixture. So it does not happen that you are only experiencing extreme pain and suffering and you are not experiencing any enjoyment. So, and the same other way around also, you don't just keep enjoying in the earthly planet, but you also suffer, right? So it is coming as a balance thing in earthly planet. And that is the reason we have free will or free choice in this planet, which where we can actually decide where we want to go. We want to go up or we want to go below, like that. Or we want to permanently go to the spiritual world. So we have a free choice in that sense. Okay, but when you have extreme suffering, you cannot think of anything else rather than alleviating your pain. And when you have extreme enjoyment, then you obviously you will forget about God and all that. Because, you know, you think that enjoyment is the greatest enjoyment. So, you know, why should we make austerities? Why should we make sacrifices? We are just able to enjoy in the material world, right? So this is how it works. Okay, so is this clear, Ujjwala Matari?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so any devotee, they have any question about this? So it's a, you know, the Earth planet or the, you know, Bharat Khanda is basically the center point, and that from the center point we choose to go up or down, or, you know, escape from this cycle and then go to the spiritual world like that. Okay, it's a balanced approach. You know, it's a, you know, happiness and suffering both are like balanced kind of. That's why it's in the center, like that. Now, you know, you consider the pendulum, you know, pendulum goes extreme, one side, other side, but then there is a center point where it is balanced, like that. Okay, next. I think it's my turn now. No, I already read.
Yeah,
Ujjwala Mataji, Sudama Mataji, whoever. A very important, very, very important popular verse of Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, true.
This is, you know, something very, you know, wonderful verse. One of my favorite, yeah.
20 seconds. अनन्याश्चिन्तयन्तो मम ये जना पर्युपासते तेषां नित्याभीतानां योगक्षेमं वहाम्यहम्. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Purport. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga, and when he becomes fully Krishna consciousness, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable conditioned life.
Yeah. So Radhanath Maharaj, you know, once he was in one lecture, he was commenting about this verse, and he was saying that one devotee was asking question, and he was mentioning that you know, that sometimes that Paramatma speaks to the devotees from within, and so then he was asking that how do we understand, you know, whether it is the Paramatma or whether it is our own mental concoction. And Maharaj said, Maharaj quoted this verse. So he was mentioning that, you know, those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they like and preserve what they have. To them I carry what they like and preserve what they have. So basically it means that these devotees, they are actually in contact with the Paramatma. Okay, and what is, so Prabhupada actually writes, one who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness. So such kind of devotees, actually they are in contact with the Paramatma. But not the ones who are sometimes in, you know, sometimes in the material world, sometimes in the spiritual, you know, they are doing some sadhana, sometimes they are doing sadhana, sometimes they are in the material world, sometimes they are attached, sometimes they are detached, not like that. But those who are constantly steady, you know, because the verse mentions about those who worship me with exclusive devotion. Now, there is something hidden in this verse. See, that is the reason this ninth chapter is the most confidential knowledge. So, when Krishna is saying, those who worship, always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they like. So, this is something that I am going to share at the end of the class. And please do remind me for that. Okay. Why this is called the most confidential knowledge, and why one of, you know, certain verses in this chapter, they are confidential, because we won't be able to know the hidden meaning of these verses. But do remind me, you know, when we end the chapter, then I would like to share. So this is the point that, so, you know, a devotee who is constantly in connection with the Paramatma, then who is constantly serving the Lord, exclusive devotion, performing exclusive devotion to the Lord, then they will be connected to the Paramatma, actually, and Paramatma will speak to them. Now, something which is very interesting, Prabhupada said when he was asked. So I think I read this in Hari Swari Prabhu's Transcendental Diary, as far as I recollect. And what I read was something really amazing. There was a conversation, or maybe I read in some letter of Prabhupada. So anyways, but it is, you know, extremely interesting. Prabhupada was asked by his disciple that, Prabhupada, you know, does it, that you know, when we say that the pure devotees, they can actually, the Paramatma, you know, guides them from within. So does it mean that the super soul is actually guiding the, you know, the devotee from within, speaking to the devotee? Prabhupada said, no, like, actually Krishna is directly speaking to them. So it is not the manifestation of the super soul, but the Lord is directly speaking to the devotee, and the devotee can actually hear the Lord. So, like, you know, Prabhupada also said that this is not, I am not writing these books. It is Krishna who is actually dictating to me, and then I am writing it. So basically, Krishna has written the books. Prabhupada said also like that many times, right? So obviously, Prabhupada being a Nitya Siddha, coming from the spiritual world, and being a Satyavesh Avatar, he was actually in touch with Krishna directly, not also in the form of super soul. So super soul is actually a less, can say, it's an inferior form of the Lord. So, you know, it's an inferior form of worship and form of the Lord. Now, okay, let's try to understand what is the difference between, or what are the three features of the Supreme Lord? Come on, this is a very simple answer.
Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, Bhagavan realization.
Yeah, okay. And so what is the difference between Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan?
Brahman realization is the effulgence of the Lord. Paramatma realization is residing in everyone's heart, and Bhagavan is the highest realization.
No, in terms of, in terms of qualities, can you explain in terms of qualities?
Is it Sapta, Chitta and Ananda?
No. See, Satchit Ananda is completely present in the Lord. He is the internal potency of the Lord. That's a different context. Like, I'm asking in terms of qualities.
So one term is, one is hierarchical, one is the one only, the second is two, and the third, the form, the complete form is all three. Brahman has a sat only. The Paramatma has a sat and a chit both. And Bhagavan has all three, sat, chit and ananda.
Okay. See, yeah, so in that context, it is true that, you know, when we talk about eternity, that is Brahman. We talk about knowledge, that is Paramatma. Sat, Chit, Ananda, Sat, Chit, Truth, Chit. And Ananda, obviously, you know, we refer to the... So all the three are present in the Lord. Yeah, in that context it is okay. But so we are not discussing about that thing. I am discussing in terms of like quality. So how do you define that? In respect to the qualities. Okay. let me ask a question, simple question. Does Brahman have any quality? This is a very simple question. I don't know why it would be taking so much time to think. Brahman, does the Brahman have any quality?
It is just of his space, right?
Huh?
It is just a space.
It is?
Just a white space.
Yeah, so what does it mean?
There's no property.
Huh?
It has no property.
No, so you're saying no quality?
Just whiteness is the only property it has.
Yeah, so Brahman does not possess any quality, obviously. So Brahman does not have any quality. What about Paramatma? Huh?
Or limited quality?
No, there is no quality at all in Brahman. See, what is Brahman? Brahman is impersonal. When we talk about person, then we refer to qualities. When we talk about an object with a shape or with a form, then we talk about qualities. But where there is only void, everything is void, or there is only effulgence, then there is the question of quality. So what about Paramatma? Okay, question is, does Paramatma exist in the spiritual world? Ujjwala Mataji?
Thank you, Swami. He will guide us until we reach the spiritual world, Prabhu.
So it guides us until we reach the spiritual world. So you say that no Paramatma in the spiritual world?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is right. Super soul does not exist in the spiritual world. There is no Shirodhakashayi Vishnu in the spiritual world because super soul is expansion of Shirodhakashayi Vishnu. And Shirodhakashayi Vishnu, Garbhodhakashayi Vishnu, they are all Purusha avatars. So they are the super souls, Mahavishnu, Garbhodhaka, and Shirodhaka. So they are only in the material world, in the material realm. So they do not exist in the spiritual world. Okay, so what is Paramatma then? What is the Paramatma feature? How it is different from Brahman feature?
It has a full form, Prabhu.
Huh?
It has a full form like a person. All qualities.
Yeah, okay, but it has a form. It has a form. But you can't say that, he's like a person in a complete manifestation of the Supreme Lord. So basically, we realize the qualities of Bhagwan in the material world, when we realize the qualities of Bhagwan in the material world, that is called as Paramatma feature. When we realize no quality, that is Brahman. When we realize the quality of Bhagwan in the material world, it is Paramatma. And then when we realize the qualities of the Lord in the spiritual world, or we realize Him as the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the full manifestation of the Supreme Lord's quality is manifested. So that is called the Bhagwan aspect of the Lord. Okay. So anyways, coming to the point of, Prabhupada saying that the worship of Paramatma feature is actually an inferior type of worship because obviously Paramatma does not exist in the spiritual world. So so that is the reason for a pure devotee, the Lord is manifesting in the original form, the form which the pure devotee is worshipping. Okay. And as I said, that, see, Nitya Siddha devotees, because they are coming from spiritual world, so actually, in one sense, there is no Paramatma for them, because they are already in contact with the Bhagavan aspect of the Lord. Right? So Paramatma is already included in the Bhagavan form of the Lord, because all Purusha Avatars, they are coming from Krishna. So Krishna is personally directing, talking to all these pure devotees who are Nitya Siddhas. Okay? So this concept we have to understand. And so Paramatma feature is, as Mataji pointed out, that it is helping the sadhaka to guide them to spiritual world. Okay, so as soon as that role is over, then as soon as we go back to Godhead, then there is no Paramatma. Right? So because Prabhupada is coming from the spiritual world and there is no Paramatma in the spiritual world, so obviously he is directly guided by Krishna himself. Okay, and in the spiritual world also, you know, obviously there is no guidance in the spiritual world in terms of attaining the Lord, because they have already attained the Lord, right? So that is the role of Paramatma in the material world. Okay, so there is no reciprocation with the Paramatma as such, like there is no relationship. It's only for guiding us to the, you know, Supreme Lord, ultimately, you know, like who is present within, you know, he is going to manifest outside. And that outside manifestation is going to be a more complete manifestation. So that Paramatma feature, we don't have a reciprocation or, exchange of mellows like the Supreme Lord as a person in the spiritual world. And that is the reason Paramatma is a inferior type of worship. Okay, so, okay. Now, so, you know, yoga kshemam vahamiham. Now, Krishna will always obviously preserve what we have. And that is, you know, I think it's good that, you know, devotees probably should share that what, you know, in their experience, what the Lord has preserved for them and what He is providing, you know, for what we are lacking. So Krishna says that whatever good things we have in spiritual life, whatever spiritual stuff we have accrued, it's all preserved. But whatever is lacking, He is going to provide with time. And for that, what is the condition?
Twenty-four by seven engaging in devotional service.
Correct, yeah. So as in Ananyas Chintayantamam, Yejana Parupashate, Tesam Nitya Bhyuktanam Yoga Chemam Mahamiyam. So Nitya Yuktanam and Ananyas Chintayantamam. So these two are very important words. That it defines that exclusive devotion to the Lord, constant devotion to the Lord, dedication, devotion. So with that, when this will happen, and obviously this is obviously steady. It is not, or it increases with time. It does not, like, you know, don't say that, okay, sometimes I am like doing Ananya Chintayantamam, but then sometimes I am also thinking of the material world. So it's not like that. Okay, it's supposed to be steady. So this kind of thing can happen, you know, at higher stages of bhakti, like asakti and bhava. Okay. So, you know, I would like to know what is the, what are the things that Krishna has preserved in your bhakti, and what are the things that Krishna is actually providing, you know, when there is a lacking. So let's start with, Ujjwala Mataji, would like to share something?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. The merciful protection of the Lord is to keep me in the association of devotees, Prabhu. I mean, keeping that association without break.
Okay. See, we are not talking about association of devotees. We want some practical experiences. How the Lord has protected your... he has, you know, provided what you are lacking and preserved what you have. So in terms of what aspect of bhakti you have already had and the Lord has preserved that, and what aspect of bhakti that you are lacking which the Lord has supplied or provided.
Aspects of bhakti means like what, Prabhu? Can you elaborate little more? I mean, like for example.
Okay, Aicha, I am not sure if you have understood, but okay, maybe I will start with my own example. So then I think devotees will probably understand. So see, there are certain things, you know, like greed to hear about the Lord, that is right from the beginning. As you know, I was always spiritually inclined. I used to watch all these spiritual, you know, serials like Mahabharata, Ramayana, Vishnu Puran, Shiv Puran, you know, so many things. And I was very determined, focused, you know, in certain things, which has helped me in bhakti to a lot of degree. I was like, for example, you know, whatever sadhana I'm doing right now is basically because of my past. My past qualities, you know, which are just continuing. So many things it has helped me over a period of time. Then my, you know, determination in certain things. Then my choices in certain things, you know, like if I like certain things, I will do it. If I commit to certain things, I will do it. So these, all these things, all these qualities, they were there in the past. And the Lord has preserved all these qualities. The greed that, you know, I had in the beginning, that the Lord has preserved. So you know, all these qualities, and where, you know, or you can say that, you know, whatever qualities I manifested in the material world, now they are transformed into spiritual, you know, as a sadhaka, it's all transferred into the spiritual realm. Okay. So, like, for example, I was, like, very studious, very focused. I mean, I was intelligent also in the material, this thing. So, you know, I have used my intelligence in Krishna's service also. And obviously, I'm not the one who is judging myself, but other senior devotees, they have said. So, I just accept it. And I know that, you know, in the past also. So all these qualities which were there manifested in the material world, they are all transformed now in the process of bhakti. So, you know, as Rupa Goswami says, that we don't renounce these things, but we use in Krishna service, because they all can be spiritualized, right? So all these things, the Lord, that the talents, the abilities that He has given me initially, which was used for material thing. Okay, another thing is that I was hearing a lot of Bollywood songs, and now the same thing, you know, when I came to spiritual life, I'm just hearing the Hare Krishna Maham, the kirtans. I have the liking to hear kirtans as long as possible. Like, it can be 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, continuously throughout the day also I can hear, which I used to do earlier, you know, when I used to hear Bollywood songs and all that. And then I was very, my conviction was very strong earlier. I was like, whenever I was in the group of friends, you know, whatever I used to say, you know, I used to kind of, whatever I said, you know, it had some weight. And that conviction skill was there, you know, that ability was there. So all these things, they have been transformed into material to spiritual thing. That the Lord has reserved, and what the Lord has provided is something which I lacked, or there was a lot of anarthas which were there in the material world. The Lord had, you know, made me realize all these anarthas over a period of time, and then gradually the transformation has come to a certain degree where, you know, certain qualities were really not favorable, you know. And like, you know, I was very arrogant, very rude, and a lot of manifested anger also many times, in the past, which I also do now sometimes. But obviously, there is a lot of difference. There is a in the sense that it is to a very less degree. And And I, you know, I have realized that many things were wrong, or the way I behaved, or the conception that I carried with time, you know, and coming from transition from material to spiritual realm. So there were so many things. I was, you know, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that the air carries aromas, and it, you know, goes from one place to another place. So similarly, the mind carries all these conceptions of different previous lifetimes. And obviously, I was like attached to so many, you know, Bollywood filmy things and all, you know, and I had a completely different conception of life. Or you can say that no conception, you know, because the ultimate goal was missing. So that all these anarthas, you know, they went away gradually, and the Lord gave, you know, through the transcendental knowledge by taking shelter of Guru Sadhu Shastra. By receiving knowledge, I got to understand many things. I realized that I was wrong in many areas, and I understood and learned that I should follow Guru Sadhu Shastra more rather than my own conceptions, you know, go with that. So, and follow all the etiquettes and all. So, you know, with the period of time, all these transformation and transitions have happened. So this is how actually the Lord will provide whatever you are lacking. And he will always resolve those things that are all favorable in Krishna consciousness, that the Lord has preserved, and I am very happy, you know, about that, you know. And I also pray that in the next lifetime also, certain things that I have in this life should also, you know, continue forward. So especially, you know, utsa, nishchaya, dhairyat, like enthusiasm, determination, patience. These three are extremely important in spiritual life. Greed is very important in spiritual life. So obviously we don't want to miss out on that. And, you know, so we always pray that when if I take birth in the material world next time, obviously I will take probably, but, you know, I should have these qualities also. So, yeah, so in that sense, you know, I was talking about preserving and, right, like that. So I think many devotees must have got similar experiences also. Yeah, so now, yeah, so any devotee, you know, Ujjwala Mataji, now would you like to say something in brief?
Mm-hmm. Prabhu, first thing is, when I read this purport, before I used to think like, yeah, Krishna will reciprocate and carry whatever we lack. Normally for neophytes, we tell this shloka in a superficial way, not with Prabhupada purport. So when we know this, maybe I'm not doing Ananyas Chintayantam, so I'm not sure that Krishna is directly taking care. But definitely I can feel that, I mean, by Prabhupada mercy, whatever we are following, some changes, some, as you say, no, like mercy of little Krishna, we can feel in our life. So what I was lacking before and what Krishna is protecting, I mean, from the childhood, as you told, some surrenderness or some belief in God, or, I mean, accepting the authority, that things are there which were converted now into proper this thing. So, before we used to worship demigods faithfully, and we were not atheist kind of people. So, we have that ability, like having that faith and going according to that. And that was converted into this, and by Krishna, that is His mercy that He is protecting that. And then, material things, I mean, whatever I was lacking, literally speaking, I was nervous, so reserved. I never ever thought that at least I'll speak something about Krishna to another person. So I was not at all having. Materially also, I was very reserved. I cannot talk with new people. No chance. I mean, if somebody starts the conversation, I may continue, but I cannot start the conversation. But what, after coming to Krishna consciousness, He made me to speak. That truly, I mean, I can see that shift completely. Something that as you said, certain anardas, before never used to, I mean, I used to think that, I'm a good person. I don't hurt anyone. I talk very nicely. I deal with people very nicely. I used to think like that. I mean, from my side, I'm 100%. But slowly, I'm realizing very much like, no. Our perception is not right. It's, we have to see from the other's perspective. It came through Krishna consciousness only, Prabhu.
Otherwise, definitely
correct.
Would have
yeah,
not
yeah.
been.
Yeah. That's right. Like, you know. Correct. Yeah. Especially when you're talking about that courage to speak, you know. Now,
yeah.
even I was like, you know, I was extrovert amongst my friends, but not in front of everyone. But after coming to Krishna consciousness, you know, that fear is a little bit going, you know, gradually it is going away. I'm becoming more extrovert because obviously I like, you know, to share Krishna consciousness. I always, you know, used to like to share things. We used to involve people also. All these things were there in the beginning, but I was doing it within my own family members and within my own friends and all that. But after coming to KC and, you know, getting the confidence and courage and all that, you know, so yeah, that is also something, you know, which is very useful for preaching. So the Lord has provided that to a certain degree, and it's very helpful actually. Yeah, so, yeah, many transformations are, you know, they have happened. And yeah, one more point, as you were saying, you know, that, sorry?
The patience level and dealing with others, like
yeah.
how you think.
Correct.
I mean, before we used to think whatever we were doing, yes, we are right. But now, if
yeah.
everything...
Yeah, that's right.
As you said, somebody is guiding
yeah.
you. Which level I am in, I don't know, but at least some point of times you'll get, no, this is not the way to deal, or this is not the way to respond. I mean, slowly change is coming.
Yeah.
I cannot say 100%, but started
yeah.
from one.
Yeah. Exactly, you know, like, especially that, I think that conception probably is common for every devotee, that they felt that they were true, they were right. And see, in that particular conception, in that particular mindset, what happens is that we are not willing to listen to others, like at least appreciate their opinion or at least respect their difference of opinion. So to that degree, you know, I was not able to accept that when, you know, before coming to KC. But now after coming to KC and, you know, spending a few years, at least I learned that, you know, every individual is different. And in fact, just recently, like, you know, a couple of months ago, because, you know, what happens is sometimes during preaching also, or sometimes when circumstances will come, then we get agitated. And when we get agitated, then we sometimes we lose to identify that, you know, whatever the other person is saying, we should also try to listen and respect that. But, you know, we are so much into our own this thing that we try to make sure that, you know, he is the one who is actually at the receiving end. So, you know, I just read something really interesting by Bhakti Tirth Maharaj a couple of months ago, and he was saying that when you don't listen to the other person's view or opinion, then you are actually disrespecting the Supreme Lord, because the living entity, you know, is an individual and is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So you are denying one portion of the Supreme Lord by not hearing their view. No, or you are directly, you know, if you say that, well, you know, your view is completely, obviously we know that certain things are absolutely true. Like, you know, whoever is going to follow Guru Sadhu Shastra, they are absolutely true. So there is a discrimination also, but at least to hear their view and then to, you know, respond to them, how to respond to them, that is a different thing. So if we just don't hear them and keep bombarding on them, then obviously that is definitely something that we are denying the existence of the person. So Maharaj was making this point that, you know, by doing this, we are like denying the existence of the person, and we are actually kind of also denying the Lord, the Supreme Lord. So like that. So it made sense to me. And so I try that, you know, I should hear also others. And although obviously they might be saying certain things which are completely opposite, but still we should hear them and we should respect them for their views. And whether we have to follow or not, that's a different thing. Obviously, we don't follow them. but we follow only Guru Sabi Shastra. But all these, you know, small things, you know, we keep learning with time. And this is what Krishna is providing, you know, he's providing like that. So I think all these things are quite common for all the devotees, I assume, right? What about Sudhamai Mataji, Mithul Prabhu, Shri Kumar Prabhu, and Neeraj Prabhu? Do you also have similar experiences?
Yes, Prabhu, more or less. The two things I would like to share, probably maybe I think is unique to me, I guess. As you know, we were from the Pushtimar, so we were in Krishna consciousness. We know and we were worshipping Krishna, but we didn't know the Krishna the way we know right now. So initially, I think I'm talking about maybe 10 years, 12 years back, and Houston is a city of full of temples. So we were in search of something about Krishna that we think we were lacking. And that is, I'm just fulfilling the lacking part that emphasizes right now, that comes in my mind. So I think we have counted a couple of temples consistently, one after another, in search of that substance that we were kind of inquisitive about, to know about Krishna. And I would confess that we got disappointed one after another until we encountered a devotee where he invited us consistently to come and attend the Bhakti Riksha program, which we attended once and then we stopped and we attended after a couple of months. And then we realized, yeah, this is the point that we were looking for the last couple of years, probably 10 years. So that is something I would say that what we are lacking, that Krishna fulfilled by His mercy. Because we know how much desperate we were and how much disappointed we were after spending a couple of years of attending those classes and moving from one day to another in temple, one class to another, in search of the substance that we were looking for. It's like a thirsty in search of water. And eventually when we encountered this Bhakti Ruchi program, and we saw a couple of online videos that devotees inspired us to watch. And that triggered us we came to a point when we understood this is what we were looking for. And our hunt journey stopped there. So that is something I think I would say to Krishna's mercy, that he fulfilled what we thought we lacked, and by his mercy we come, our journey come to an end, where we found an ocean instead of what we were looking at a small time.
That is also, you know, like Krishna is supplying, you know, because he is fulfilling our needs in Krishna consciousness also. You know, depending on our inquisitiveness, eagerness to serve Him, to know about Him, He will send us different representatives, and through them He will fill the gap. Like, you know, it is mentioned that through Krishna we get Guru, and then through Guru we get Krishna, like that. So yeah, that is definitely there. And I also wanted to comment on this. You know, obviously this is a very high verse, you know, which talks about Ananyas Chinta Yantamam, that, you know, exclusive devotion to the Lord. Obviously, maybe, you know, we are not at that stage, but Krishna is actually, obviously, He has to provide everyone, you know, because then only they can advance in spiritual life. If the Lord does not arrange situations for devotees, then how can we advance in spiritual life? So even the devotees who are starting, they are new in Krishna consciousness, they also will have experiences like this, how the Lord is reciprocating, arranging things for them. And so it is true that this principle applies to any stage of devotion, whether it is right from Shraddha till the stage of Prema. It is true for everyone. It does not discriminate. But only thing is, sincerity has to be there. Like, you know, we have to have the sincere desire to advance in spiritual life. Otherwise, the Lord will not facilitate that desire. Okay, so we can become stagnant at certain point. So it is, you know, we can, that is the reason our faith also increases with time, you know, when we see all these education happening and the Lord is making arrangement depending on our desires. So that's how the faith also increases. So this is called as the protection of the Lord in terms of protecting our, or making sure that we advance in spiritual life. So it's like protecting our bhakti, basically. Okay. All right. So now, so any devotee, do you have any question on this? Okay, so then let's continue. Now, after we come from the yatra, this will be on 17th November. Okay. So, yeah, all right. Thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam.
Hare Krishna,
Dhanva Pranam.